Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody on this very special draft recap episode. Cody, how are you this fine Monday?
Draft recap episode. That means I'm excited. I'm slightly still confused, even though I understand things. I'm still slightly confused on things. But I'm excited. Real quick, to those of you who haven't yet, make sure you like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Steelers by the Lake. We're still growing that Facebook family. James is over here drinking his Red Bull. Facebook is growing a lot. If there's anything you guys want us to do that we aren't doing right now as far as social media stuff, if you want us to have interactive, like specific days where we interact with you guys more on social media, or if there's anything that we can do, if you guys want to have like a Discord server, that's easy enough that we can do. Let us know anything else that you're interested in. We're kind of trying to gauge our demographic as far as who is a part of our Steelers by the Lake family right now. If it's people who want us to be more active on Facebook, or more Instagram, Twitter, all those kinds of things, let us know. Comment, email us, do whatever you got to do to to let us know where you guys are at and what we can do to kind of engage with you guys more. But James, how are you doing? And do you have updates? Do you have updates for us?
Listen. So many updates. I've got monthly recap updates. I've got baby puppy updates.
Oh, here we go.
I've got interactions on Twitter updates, all kinds of stuff going on. Before I talk about all the Steelers by the Lake news, and there is, because as we always do every first show of the month, we tell you about how things went for us in the previous month, top downloading states and countries. I want to give a special shout out to Twitter handle Tabletop Sports. They do a podcast also. They're Steelers fans, Milwaukee Brewers fans, if any of you are fans of them. And they talk other sports as well. But always showing us love with likes and retweets, lots of interaction from them. So I want to give them a quick shout out. Any of you that decide to do the same, it's going to happen. Also, Jason Sable on Facebook. Jason, appreciate you, buddy. Lots of interaction this weekend. And that does not go unnoticed. Now, for the month of April, we had a real big shakeup. And before I get through the top five states, I'm going to say that we know for a fact that downloads aren't tracking accurately in Pennsylvania. In fact, most of them do not seem to be coming through and are just going into a category of unknown state.
Because that's where ours are going.
Sure. Yeah. We always listen back just for quality assurance, you know, to pick up on any mistakes we make, try to make the show better for the next time, see how the audio sounded, all those sorts of things. So when ours aren't going through, we know that there's a little bit of an issue going on there. But that being said, the top downloaded state last month was Maryland.
Maryland.
Maryland. Yes, that's new. That's Baltimore Ravens country.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's what we get when we talk about them negatively all the time. No, I'm just kidding.
Drafted one of my favorite offensive linemen in this draft class. So we'll talk about that at some point, but I'm not going to give him any props right now. That's for sure. Number two downloaded state last month, Washington state. Mm-hmm. So nice to see the folks out there supporting us. Ohio in at number three. They're always in one of the top states. Number four, California. And then we had a two-way tie at five between Kentucky and New Jersey.
We take that. We take that New Jersey coming out of nowhere. Kentucky's been around. Kentucky's been here.
Yeah.
New
Kentucky's been solid ever since they came on the scene, bro.
That's true.
Some good support of ours there.
That's true. I'd love to know who they are. I'm really curious. Who's in
any explanation, maybe?
Maybe, maybe. That's fair. What about countries? Tell us countries.
All right, top country, not going to surprise anyone, the United States of America coming in at number one again. Number two, the UK, and then we had a two-way tie at three between Canada and Spain.
We take those.
Yeah.
We take those Spaniards, loving Steelers just like us. We appreciate it.
That's it, man.
We appreciate it.
Some good people out there in Spain.
Great people out there. Oh my gosh, great people. So now it's time to go in. It's time to talk about the draft.
This is an exciting draft class, man. Really, really crazy how things played out. Everybody talked about the quarterback class this year. Would Pittsburgh go quarterback in the first round? Would they go defensive line, safety, corner, offensive line, linebacker? Nobody knew. We all had guesses. Nobody knew. But when it came to the Pittsburgh Steelers pick in the first round, all of the quarterbacks were available, which gave them the chance to really put their stamp on this and say, this was our guy all along. This is exactly who we wanted. In fact, found after the draft that the Steelers actually tried to trade up to number 15 overall to get this guy. Number one quarterback in the program, number one in your hearts, number eight in the program now. It's going to be Kenny Pickett out of the University of Pittsburgh.
Kenny Pickett, yes, he can. That's what I keep saying, and I hate it because it's really dumb. but that's what I keep saying. Yeah, Kenny Pickett, local boy, obviously, from played at the University of Pittsburgh, which means when he was playing football, he was playing at Heinz Field. He's accustomed to the environment, to the Pittsburgh setting, to the Yinzers, and to the all those kinds of things. He's accustomed to it. So, and Pittsburgh loves those hometown guys. You know, that was the same thing Pittsburgh did with James Conner. And now they did it with, you know, Kenny Pickett here. I like this. I don't want to say I love this pick because I'm still, I don't know. I felt like there were situations where I would have, I think there was still a fairly sought after. Andrew Booth was still on the board, if I'm correct, cornerback.
Was Lewis Cine.
Lewis Cine, the safety. Yep. So I'm not saying that we didn't need Kenny Pickett. I'm not saying we didn't need a quarterback. This shores up our quarterback room immediately. And it should shore up the quarterback of the future immediately. So we'll have to wait and see what happens here. But Kenny Pickett, obviously the stat line. I saw somebody also do a comparison, which was really cool, between him and Malik Willis. I mean, the last year of their collegiate career, I think Willis was a 61.7% completion rating. 67% was Kenny Pickett. You had 47 touchdowns to like 7 interceptions or something. Huh? No. Yeah, 47 to 27. Yeah, 47-7 touchdown to interception ratio for Pickett. And then it was like 27-12 or something for
Malik, so you're Willis. Talking 7-1 touchdown to interception ratio versus a 2-1 interception touchdown to interception ratio. Not to mention Kenny Pickett was the highest graded of all of them in a red zone success.
Yep.
With a 99 quarterback rating in the red zone of the top five quarterbacks, perceived top five quarterbacks, because it turned out Bailey Zappi went above Sam Howell in the draft. Embarrassing for Sam Howell. But of those five, he was number one in red zone accuracy as well. So the highest percentage of touchdowns. So this is a guy that converts on third downs. He converts in the red zone. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes throwing interceptions. He's pretty dang athletic. He's not Malik Willis athletic, but there was only one Malik Willis athletic guy, and that also came with Malik Willis accuracy and turnover ratio, yep, which was not good. There's a reason he ended up going as late as he did in the draft, and all 32 teams passed on him, right? Yep. Let's be real. Yep. All 32 teams passed on every quarterback except for Kenny Pickett.
At least I would assume so. There may have been one or two. I don't know if all 32 teams went before
but they were third round picks.
That's true. So they should have. Everybody
had at least a second round pick. I know there was like eight teams that didn't have a first round pick, but they had second round picks.
Yeah. Freaking Jets taking them all.
Yeah. They weren't the only ones, man.
Yeah, I know.
But to me, this was the most pro-ready quarterback. He was already going through reads like an NFL quarterback. He was always going through his progression from receiver one to two to three. He was already scrambling and buying time, staying behind the line of scrimmage, being fully aware of the line of scrimmage was, while looking downfield to still complete the pass.
Yeah,
These are the things that you're looking for. And that last part is what they loved about Ben Roethlisberger so much. He was a guy that extended the play, but didn't look to get past the line of scrimmage and just start scrambling right away. He extended it. He would stay behind the line. He would stay alive as long as he could and buy his receivers time to get open. And next thing you know, you've got some pretty tremendous plays happening.
And I feel like Pickett is a little less. Yeah, I feel like Pickett's a little less of the backyard football style that Ben was, but he has the same capability of extending the play, which a lot of the time...
And more athleticism.
Yes, and a lot of the time people accredited, or I shouldn't even say accredited, they blamed Ben's backyard football style for the lack of, playoff runs. They accredit it, the quarterback that has the mind to go through progressions better or whatever. The less backyard football style quarterbacks were the ones that got further in the playoffs is what they said. So who knows what this means for Pittsburgh? The last thing I'm going to say about Kenny Pickett before we move on, if I can remember, because I've already lost it. Pittsburgh loves players that have to make rule changes, right? You think about Mel Blunt, they changed a rule because of him, correct? Or was it Rod Woodson? I forgot. Yeah. No, it was Blunt.
Yeah, no, it was pass interference was Mel Blunt. Yeah.
Yep. And then you had the blocking rule change with Hines Ward. The NCAA had to, there you go, Hines Ward being repped right now. We'll get into that in the next pick. I'm repping the Pitt Panthers hoodie right now for Kenny Pickett. The NCAA had to make a rule change for Kenny Pickett because he did a fake slide and wound up getting a crazy good touchdown run. I mean, it was a crazy good run anyways. But
it was a good run.
Pittsburgh likes players that force the game to change, and Kenny Pickett's that guy. So I'm excited to see what happens with Kenny Pickett for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in the end, you have to trust Pittsburgh's process. They've been going through this process for the last 3 or 4 years, just not selecting quarterbacks other than when they selected Mason Rudolph, but that was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. They've been going through this. They've been evaluating the guys, just not drafting and then seeing how they work out on the teams that they end up on. So with them doing that this many years in a row, you got to have some faith that their decision was the right decision. And one of the two of the things that translate the best to pro game from the college game is your touchdown to interception ratio and your completion percentage. And he was best in both. So I think that is a really good sign of things to come. Second round came around, Cody, in somebody that we had talked about. Now, we actually predicted Kenny Pickett in our live mock draft. He was our first round pick. Now, the second guy we had actually done in a live mock before, but it actually got scrapped because the internet quality was like one out of every three words that we said. It was pretty awful.
Yeah.
But wide receiver second round, Cody. Tell me about this guy.
Listen, Pittsburgh loves at least one wide receiver from Georgia in the name of Hines Ward, who's a potential future Hall of Famer, should have been in by now. Let's talk about it. And you're repping the Hines Ward. You're repping the Georgia wide receiver. Well, another Georgia wide receiver with George Pickens. And we talked about him a lot, George Pickens. And here's the thing about George. I'm going to get straight into it. Obviously, we talked about a Georgia wide receiver, 6'3", 195. George Pickens, out of, I think, the first top 10 or maybe even all of them, I know for sure there's a number of them, lowest drop percentage out of all the wide receivers. I wonder why we drafted that guy.
With the struggles we've seen the last 2 years, with some guys really going through Butterfingers issues, he was a 2.1% drop rate. Lowest out of, like Cody said, it was like the top 10, top 15 guys in this draft class. So absolutely incredible hands. Another thing, there's two things I'm going to touch base on. Number one is injury. 2021, early on in the season, he had an ACL. Recovered from it, came back the same season in like 6 or 7 months, played the last few games, and played in the championship game, and actually made some pretty big plays in that game to help Georgia win the national championship. That is something that really resonates with Pittsburgh's coaches. They loved how Juju did that last year, came back from his injury and helped us in the game, even though we were unable to win it. This is a guy with the same kind of toughness. He really showed a lot of heart. He could have very easily just shut it down you know, worked on his 40-yard dash, work on his jumps and all the drills he was going to have to do at the combine, full well knowing he was going to go pro and say, screw it, I'm just going to worry about how good I time and how well I perform at these. And he didn't. He said, it's more important to me to come back, play with my teammates, and try to win a national championship with him. And he helped him do it. And that screams a lot about the young man's personality and his drive and his team-first mentality. He's had some issues. Yeah, he had a fist fight on a game once. He was kind of
threw the guy into the freaking wall in the
corner a little bit. He was ragdolling him a little bit, let's be honest. There was another incident where he was on a sideline. He squirted a water bottle on somebody and got penalized for it. He was 20. He's 21 years old now. He's still a young man. He's still growing up. You have to look at the plus with the negative. He's got a desire to block, which is something that Pittsburgh loves in their wide receivers, and it's kind of lacking in their wide receiver room right now. You had it with Juju and Ray McLeod. You don't really have it with Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool.
Which is wild when you look at Chase.
That tenacity back.
That's wild when you look at how big Chase is.
He could dominate every corner in safety in the league.
He doesn't want to.
He doesn't mentally have it. Yeah, he doesn't have that desire to do so. I pray to God it happens. I pray to God, like, he sees George Pickens' 195-pound butt pushing people around and says, man, I need to step my game up. You know, I hope a thing like that happens.
There's
one play there.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, Michigan. So against Michigan, there's a play where somebody's lined up against him, and he just goes out there and chucks the guy on his butt, just shoves him straight through his butt, and then puts his finger up to his mouth and tells the Michigan sideline to shut up, basically. Most noticeably on this play, you know who does that he shoot to the ground like that?
No.
That was Dax Hill, the first round safety out of Michigan.
Ooh. Okay.
Coincidentally, he is a Cincinnati Bengal now. So, just saying, that rivalry will be able to continue. And George got the better half or the better side of that battle in college. I expect to see it again. This is a guy that would have been a first round pick had it not been for the injury.
Yeah.
Straight up. I mean, he ran a 4.47, and this was like 7 or 8 months after an ACL. He's not even all the way up to full speed yet, and he ran a 4.47.
We'll take it.
He is going to take the top off of defenses, and he's tough enough to go over the middle and make catches that are difficult. I can't wait to see this guy, man. It's really going to be fun to see. And Deontay better really step up his game, because with the addition of a guy like this, you don't necessarily need to bring Deontay back when his contract expires this year.
No, not when he's asking for $94 million. Or whatever the heck it is. Yeah, not worth it. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Next pick at number 84, third round pick, was defensive lineman DeMarvin Leal.
That's the guy, man. Another guy that coming back from last year, a lot of people were talking about him possibly going pro in 2021. Mm-hmm. He chose to play an additional year. Had a pretty good year from what you would see stat-wise, 8.5 sacks. This last year, but for whatever reason, people looked at him and said he's kind of a tweener. He's almost 6'4". He's like 6'3 and 7/8".
Yeah.
283, 285 pounds, depending on what way in you go on the combine or his pro day. 33.5-inch long arms. They're not short. They're not long, but they are adequate right in the middle. He shouldn't have too many issues with people getting into his chest and bullying him. And good athleticism, but not top tier athleticism. So it's just one of those guys where you didn't think he was big enough to really be a 4-3 D tackle. He's probably not quick enough to be an end in a 4-3. He's not big enough to be a nose tackle. Where does he fit? Well, he fits best as a 3-4 defensive end, was exactly what Pittsburgh will use him as.
Yep.
And I love the pass rush moves from this guy. A really quick first step. Great acceleration and a pretty good spin move. He doesn't hit it all the time, but when he does, he spins his way right past some offensive linemen pretty easily. And against Alabama, there's a play where he threw Evan Neal right to the ground like he was not even. And Evan Neal was like a top 5, top 10 pick in this draft, 6'7", 340, mammoth guy, absolutely enormous man. So. he's got some serious potential. I feel like this is a move that says, hey, we know our defensive line is our most aging part of our entire team, right? We got to be realistic about it. You know, Tyson Alualu is like 35 years old. Cam's like 31. Yeah. Tuitt's like 28 or 29. And we still don't know 100% for sure if Tuitt's going to play this year. It really looks like he's going to. But if he doesn't, you got to reload this room. This screams a really nice bullet in the magazine, if you will, as far as reloading it. And I like the fact that everyone thought he wouldn't be there in the third. They thought he would have been gone, you know, late first, early second round. There he is in tremendous value in the third round. And now we're going to have some people that can get after the quarterback in that second tier of defensive line. So when it's that long drive where somebody's beating you down, first down after first down after first down, and Cam and Stephon are just exhausted, now you can get a guy in some serious pass rush moves and get after the quarterback and make something happen.
Yeah. I like it. We're going to need, I mean, again, like you said, the aging defensive line is one of the weaknesses on our defense as far as for the future. My buddy sent me a link the other day that talked about how young our offensive team is. I think it's the youngest.
Yeah.
The youngest overall offense in the NFL. I'm like, yeah, well, it should be. So, especially when you look at the starters.
They played like it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, obviously when you lose Ben, there goes the outlier right there. That brought the average up like 3 years just from Ben.
Yeah.
So,
and Eric Ebron, that really helped it as well.
Yeah, for sure. So I like the pick. What I like even more about that specifically is he had the 8.5 sacks. Like you said, 8.5 sacks in 2021. That's great. That's great performance out of a D line. That when he comes in and plays, we're not going to be losing because he's not starting. We know that. But when he comes in,
not unless Tuitt doesn't come back.
Correct. But if he comes in on a rotation or give someone a break or whatever, we're not going to lose that pass rush ability, which is phenomenal. I love that specifically about him. The next guy, the thing I love most about him is we sniped him right before Baltimore Ravens could pick him up. That's my favorite part about this, minus the fact that he was the fastest guy in the draft. Calvin Austin III, he is 5'7 and a half, 170 pounds, ran a 4.32 40, and wide receiver. The confusing part is this screams Ray Ray replacement, even though I thought we already signed the Ray Ray replacement with Gunnar Olszewski Olszewski. In the free agency. So I'm confused about that thing going on, but other than that, this guy's fast.
Super fast, super dynamic. He had a game against Cincinnati in 2020, not this year, but the year previous. He caught 7 balls for 121 yards, primarily going against Sauce Gardner, and when he wasn't going against him, he would have been going against Kobe Bryant, and oh yeah, James Cook, who just got drafted in the second or third round, the safety.
Yep.
So we're talking about 3 guys in the first 3 rounds drafted from that Cincinnati defensive backfield. And Calvin Austin III just torched them all game long. So just incredible speed and short area quickness. A lot of people are trying to say, oh no, here's another Dre Archer. Completely different situation.
Yeah.
First off, Dre Archer was actually a lot smaller, which is insane because this guy's pretty small.
He's like 5'5".
Number two, Dre Archer was a running back. He was used in some screen plays and that sort of thing. This is a true wide receiver with 2 1,000-yard-plus receiving seasons in college. He's a receiver. And a dynamic return, man. I don't think Pittsburgh will use him in kick returns. They don't like using little guys like that in kick returns. But I could absolutely see them using him here and there in the punt return game.
Yep.
Because that kind of short area quickness and elusiveness could really be a game changer. So really, really exciting player. Really electric. Game-breaking speed. Field-stretching speed. If you send a guy like that deep, it opens up the whole field because you're going to have to send at least 2 people with him.
Yep.
Safety's going to have to go with him, and the corner's going to have to try and trail because he's not going to be able to run with him. Aren't too many corners in the league can run a 4.32.
True. Very true. I'm excited for him. Nice. I'm excited to see him in the preseason for sure. Because that's where we're going to get all these guys. The majority of seeing them for the first time will be preseason. And training camp, which reminder to you guys, we will be going to. Make sure you hit us up because we will be going. I already have a guy from working at the bar the other night that wants to go with us, James. So
nice.
We're going to bring as many people as we can to show the Steelers some support at training camp.
That's what I'm talking about. Another thing that I think it goes unsaid, really, but just to state it, with two wide receivers in the top four rounds, it's a much-needed reload.
It is.
You lost Juju Smith-Schuster, you lost James Washington, you lost Ray McCloud. That was three of your top five wide receivers. Now you've completely reloaded in the offseason with the addition of Gunnar Olszewski, who, again, not a lot of experience at wide receiver, but also Miles Boykin, a little more experience at wide receiver, but also Miles Boykin, a very accomplished special teamer. A lot of tackles on special teams. So this is just really restocking the room, and it puts you in a good situation to where you don't have to be held at ransom by Deontay Johnson. If for some reason he says, hey, I think I should make $30 million a year, and Pittsburgh's like, you're out of your mind, man. You're like a $18 million guy at best. And there's just no coming to a deal. Well, then screw it, man. Move on. Move on. You got some high picks, and you'll be fine without him.
Or trade him.
Yeah. Tag and trade.
You had so many of those players. I mean, think about it. We've added four receivers in the offseason now. We lost three. There's room to lose one more.
I'm telling you, they're gearing up for a pretty significant gain in the compensatory formula in 2024.
Yeah.
Not going to get crap in 2023 because we signed more guys than we lost. True. So that's not going to happen. But in 2024, we get a lot of guys whose contracts are expiring at the end of this season who might get some paydays at other places.
Yeah. Trey Turner was just signed somewhere too. Trey Turner was just signed to a 1-year, $3 million deal as well. That happened today.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if we were going to get to that later or not, but I just figured I'd bring it up now. Next pick was somebody that we had mocked in the seventh round, but Pittsburgh decided to go out and get him in the sixth. Fullback slash tight end, keep it in the family, Connor Hayward. Interesting.
Fantastic pick.
You love it. I know you do. And I'm not opposed to it. I just want to see. I got to look up more gameplay highlights and stuff. I got to see him play more.
Wait
than I
till
have.
You see. His receiving highlights, man. He looks like Randy Moss the way he high points the ball. And I know you think I'm exaggerating. In the okay, a little bit, maybe a little bit. there was a game against Pitt at the end of the season. It was like the ACC championship game or whatever it was, right? Connor Hayward, the final catch of the game, the game-winning catch. They throw it to him in the end zone. He high points the ball better than I've ever seen a running back high point the ball. Two hands up over the top, full extension, over top of a defender right on him. Just incredible catch, and it's all over his film. Guy's got hands like a wide receiver, and he basically played fullback and tight end his senior year. Now, the reason that happened is because they brought in a guy by the name of Kenneth Walker who just went second round, right? So he was a transfer from another school, came to Michigan State. He took the starting job from Connor. But Connor had been the feature running back the two previous seasons, averaging right around 4 or 4.5 yards a carry. So he had a decent average going on. They had the opportunity to bring in a more dynamic, faster guy. They did so. But Connor stayed a part of the offense because of how talented he is out in space. He can break a lot of tackles. He's got a lot of capability when it comes to balance. So when you hit him, he is able to keep his feet, bounce off of tacklers. Honestly, his film's pretty impressive. He's just not a super fast guy. He's a 4.7, 240.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about a fullback or tight end, that's the appropriate speed for a guy in that position. And his film, as far as special teams, he is a tackling machine on special teams.
I'm watching some highlights as we talk right now, and they just had him on kick return, so that was interesting. Oh, another kick return happened. A little intriguing. I would love to see Pittsburgh do this.
Don't put it past him. I would not put it past him.
And he just threw a touchdown or a pass. He just threw a pass. Okay. All right. I'm a little bit sold now on this guy. I'm a little bit sold. Well, and here's the other thing. Pittsburgh is a family-oriented team. We've talked about it before. This made it four brothers on the team. You have the Edmonds, you have the Davises, you have the Watts, and now you have the Haywards.
Yeah.
And if at some point last year it would have made it five. So,
and there's a decent chance that three of them will remain going into next season. I would say the Davis brothers are probably both going to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
But Trey Edmonds will probably make the practice squad again. He's been on the practice squad like the last 2-3 years in a row.
Yep.
And Terrell's going to be the starting safety. You know, the Watts aren't going anywhere.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
We're not going to talk about it.
No, there's more to talk about that. We're going to get to that after the seventh round pick, the final seventh round pick, because there was a very important addition made to the team after the last pick.
Oh, I know. I heard about it.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah.
I just think Connor Hayward, you know, this is somebody who's going to be able to contribute right out of the gate. I do think that Pittsburgh will carry two fullbacks this season. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he can be so much more than that. He can be the extra running back. He can be a special teams contributor who makes a lot of tackles on kick return or on kickoff coverage, on punt coverage. He can be a four-phase guy right out of the gate on punt return and kick return, on kick coverage, on punt coverage. And I think they're going to have a difficult time justifying trying to sneak him to the practice squad after losing Quincy Roche last year and trying to do that same sort of thing. They're going to have a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth and not going to want to do that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, right now, when you're on a first and goal or second and goal or whatever, you're down inside the 2-yard line. Five linemen. Obviously you got Kenny Pickett in there. You got Freiermuth and Gentry, same side, opposite sides, whatever you want to do. Two fullback system. Watt and freaking Hayward with Najee running behind both of them. That's a touchdown every time.
That's a wishbone offense, baby, and you got two legitimate fullbacks now.
That would be, if I see that at all, I'm probably going to just quit life.
The potential is there. You know, nobody runs that kind of offense, and it will screw people up because there's a lot of misdirection in those type of offenses.
Yeah.
And that can really goof people up on their responsibilities and open up some opportunities. But you got three guys that are hard-nosed runners now.
Yeah.
So,
and all three of those guys can catch.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Derek's got some good hands. Pittsburgh just didn't throw it to him.
Not at all. No, Ben had two times he could have thrown it to him for touchdowns and missed on both. Yep. Didn't even see him.
Let's move on to the seventh round pick there.
Yeah, seventh round. We finally hit the linebacker room. James, who'd we get?
We got a guy by the name of Mark Robinson. Mark is a former running back, and I say former as early and most recently as last season. Mark was playing at Ole Miss right beside Matt Corral, and then his senior year switched over to middle linebacker and just went out there and got 91 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks. And really was all over the place. But the thing that you see on his film is that when he hits somebody, he brings the wood, baby. He hits people hard. And that showed up in the weight room when he hit 34 reps on the bench. So his size doesn't sound all that tremendous at 6 foot, 230 pounds. But he is a ball of muscle. And a 4.65 40 is not that bad for a middle linebacker. That's actually decent speed. There's a lot of second round guys with speed in around that speed, like Chad Muma was right around there. The first round pick, Devin Lloyd, he was very similar to that too. I think he was a 4.66. So this isn't bad speed by any means. Reminding a lot of people of just a few back, the Florida State linebacker, Vince Williams. Just the way that he was a similar size, really hard hitter against the run, just not real accomplished against the pass. But let's pump the brakes on slandering him on his pass coverage. The guy only did it for 1 year.
True. Very true.
Got to give him a chance to get with some coaching staff and get some opportunity and some coaching on how to cover the pass. But I think there's some potential there, especially with the fact that we have not been able to develop Marcus Allen, Ulysses Gilbert III. The backup middle linebacker room has just stayed stagnant. It's been the same guys with none of them really stepping up all that much. So this brings another fresh set of legs into the room and a new person to push the room and see what we can get people to do. But I like the idea of him in goal line, smacking somebody and driving them back.
Oh, yeah. We like that a lot. I don't have much to say about this guy. The strength is definitely where I'm most excited to watch him play and see what he does. And also the fact that he was running, like you said, a 4.65. He's fairly quick. He's not blazing speed. He's not a Ryan Shazier or even a, I don't remember what Devin Bush's time was.
4.43, yeah. I think. Okay, 4.44, yeah. So something like that.
He's a little bit slower than those guys, but not enough that I'm not confident in his ability to keep up with majority of
faster than Vince was.
Yeah, very, yeah. Oh, yeah. On that, I was faster than Vince was. just kidding. We're going to move on from that.
Real quick, he's really showed a lot of good film as far as shaking a blocker, too. Whether disregarding him, throwing him off to the side, or just making a miss and going and getting the tackle. So that's something that we struggle with our middle linebackers currently, is that shedding capability.
Yeah, and they used him as a QB spy to Malik Willis. Like,
that's saying something.
That's say, like, I don't know if you've seen that at all, if you've looked at those highlights from that game. He's rallied it. He rallied him like two or three times on plays that he tried to escape the pocket or scramble. That's great. That's what you need, especially in our division where all the quarterbacks now, if Deshaun Watson plays, they're all fairly mobile. Joe Burrow can run. Obviously, Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson can. So,
Go ahead.
No. I'm just going to say you need that in our division.
That is what's funny about this is he was at Ole Miss, right? Mm-hmm. This is the Ole Miss middle linebacker.
Yep.
I watched the Ole Miss versus Liberty game and came away with a really bad opinion of Malik Willis because of him scrambling and he was just being run first, and he threw 5 interceptions that game. I didn't realize that Mark Robinson was the one giving him such fits that game. that makes so much more sense now.
Yep.
Honestly, that puts a little more stock in Mark Robinson in my book, because that was legitimately Malik Willis's worst game of his entire season.
Yep. Yeah, he was the QB spy on him pretty much the whole game.
That's awesome.
And then the last pick we had, the seventh round and last overall pick for Pittsburgh, we drafted another quarterback.
That's right. A guy by the name of Chris Oladokun. Now, this is a really confusing pick for a lot of people. Not for Alex Cazor's Dealer's Depot. He actually mocked him in the seventh round. He nailed that somehow. I don't know how. He might be a witch. There's a possibility of that.
He might be a witch.
I definitely accused him of it on Twitter. but anyway, this is a guy that Pittsburgh brought in at one of the 30 pre-draft visits. So they had some interest in him. And I don't think this has as much to do with Dwayne Haskins as much as they were really interested in the player.
Yeah.
So the way Pittsburgh structures their undrafted free agent contracts, it's not real favorable to trying to outbid other teams. So if you want to make sure you can get that guy to camp when you really want him, then you use that last seventh round pick on him. Just kind of like how Pittsburgh did last year with Presley Harvin III.
Yep.
The final seventh round selection, they took him that way. They didn't have to worry about outbidding somebody as an undrafted. You know, he's got a decent chance. This also tells me that if something happens where there's a possibility of trading away, say, Mason Rudolph and getting capital back for him, you can keep this guy on the team. Mason's contract's up after this season anyway, and then Trubisky's contract the year after. So who's your backup quarterback? Any pick after that? This could be the backup quarterback for 2 years after that. It gives him 2 years to develop in the system and try to turn into a capable backup quarterback. I don't have any fallacies of thinking that this is going to be the next Rich Gannon or Randall Cunningham or something crazy like
Tom
that.
No, Brady.
I don't think that's what it is. I don't think that's what it is, but I do think that you see enough in him and some decent athleticism. He was a 4.7, 140 guy that you can work with him and see if you can turn him into a viable backup. If so, maybe you keep him on the cheap for a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. After we talked about it and everything, I understood a majority of the reasoning beforehand. I just didn't like the pick, but also processing through Pittsburgh not doing a lot to sign undrafted guys and this and that, and not being able to outbid people just by the way they do things. It's not that they couldn't, it's that they don't. The pick makes sense to me, and especially if we can get some capital back for Mason Rudolph, that would be very, very good for Pittsburgh moving forward. So, again, not my favorite pick of the draft, but not my least favorite, because I don't have one. I don't know how to say that. Whatever. But yeah, so the next thing we're going to go into is some signings that happened after that. The big one we're going to talk about immediately that James kind of already talked about was a safety. Highly underrated safety, I would say. I shouldn't say highly. He's fairly underrated safety.
Yeah, he's got some experience. He's been on a few teams in the league. A guy by the name of DeMonte KZ. Mm-hmm. Some folks had him on a short list of guys that could be brought in if Terrell Edmonds was not brought back. Well, this gives us DeMonte KZ to back up Terrell Edmonds, but also to back up Minkah Fitzpatrick, because he can play both positions.
Yep.
Not a huge guy. I want to say he's like 5'11", 198, something like that. But he does have one season where he had 7 interceptions. He's got 12 interceptions in a 5-year career, 7-1 season, so he's got some ball skills. And most importantly to me, this just kind of solidifies the safety room. Now you're not really stressing about what do we do if one of the starters goes down. You got a high-quality backup player involved there. And it may be even somebody that you extend after this year, give him another 1-year deal, let Terrell Edmonds go, and then go into the draft next year and find your starter next year. Since they were unable to do so this year. But the way they signed him right after the draft was over, you could tell they wanted to get a safety in the draft and just didn't have the opportunity that they liked enough. There was a real shot at it in the 3rd round there, but they couldn't pass up on the Marvin Leal. They liked the talent too much. So
yeah,
they passed up on the safety room, and then by the time they came around again at the end of the 4th, they didn't like the guys that were there, and neither did I.
Yeah. So I like that signing. He's obviously going to be the backup, like you said, to both guys, pretty much. With that being said, Steelers did decline to use the 5th-year option for Devin Bush, which is big, because a lot of the times that can give you a kind of like a cheaper deal for somebody at that position for a little bit longer. But again,
It all depends. So they changed it from what it used to be.
Okay.
If you have 2 seasons where you have made it to the Pro Bowl, then it's like the top 10 average guys at the position. If you've made it once, it's like the top 15. No, I'm sorry. It's the top 5 if you've made it to 2 Pro Bowls. And if you've made it to 1, it's like the top 15. If you haven't made it to any and you meet a specific amount of time played, games played, snaps, whatever, then it's like the top 25 average. So the number really drops down if they haven't had any Pro Bowls, and I don't think he's had any yet. So the 5th-year option would have been on the cheaper variety had they re-signed him to it, had they given it to him. But let's be real, the way he signed, way he played last year, not too many people are going to be happy with giving him like $5 or $6 million for the way he played. We got to see better play from him this year than we did last year. Happens, everyone. You know, we sign him to a nice extension, keep him in town, and he gets his payday. If he doesn't, well, then Pittsburgh's looking for a replacement in the draft, or hoping that Buddy Johnson, Mark Robinson, or Robert Spillane, or one of these guys can step up and be that number 2 to Miles Jack. But at least you know you have Miles Jack in fold.
Yep, absolutely. So now we're going to go run through the undrafted guys from this draft. So Pittsburgh always, I mean, every team always after the draft has a list of guys that they're looking to get on the roster to bring them into camp to see if they have anything. A lot of these guys typically either A, don't make the team. I mean, some 7th-round picks don't make the team. 6th, 7th-round picks don't make the team. Undrafted guys rarely make the team, and if they do, sometimes they're on the practice squad. Every now and then you have guys that go undrafted that perform very well. Maybe not necessarily for the team that picked them up, but another team. That's what I mean. James Harrison was undrafted, and look what he did in the NFL. So long.
Yeah, Ramon Foster was undrafted, and he was a starter for Pittsburgh for how many years? You know.
Yeah.
So lots of guys, lots of examples over the year of undrafted guys who've made impact teams. And Pittsburgh's had good luck with him. Even Rosie Nix, he made a Pro Bowl for crying out loud. That was an undrafted guy.
Heck yeah.
So definitely, definitely some guys out there. So you got to look through them. We're going to whiz through these guys real quick here. Only a couple of them will we have much to say about, and that's because they're a little more significant than the others. First guy, Jake Dixon, an offensive tackle out of Duquesne. Weighed in 6'6", 290, a little on the light side. So he's going to need to hit the all-you-can-eat buffets. And make sure he's in the weight room all day, every day, baby. Number two, running back, Mateo Durant out of Duke. This is the guy that was given the largest signing bonus of any of these guys, which was $15,000. It's about as high as Pittsburgh ever goes. I think once in a while they do a $20,000, but $15,000 is usually the highest. He's 5'11", 196, ran a 4.38 40-yard dash, which is really, really fast for a running back. And he had a really good production at Duke. So this is a guy who does actually have a chance, especially since the only returning running backs, Najee Harris, Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland Jr., there's room for a fourth guy.
So this is somebody
who could possibly crack the roster.
Yeah, he had a 5.24-yard average with 18 touchdowns on his career at Duke. So that's a fairly good production out of him.
That's good, man. That's good.
Very good.
Next guy on the list, Donovan Jeter out of Michigan. This is a defensive lineman, 6'3", 325 pounds. I'm guessing by this body size, he's probably more of a nose. So he might see a little bit of playing time just because there's not a lot of nose tackles on the team right now.
Yep.
Next person, outside linebacker, Tyree Johnson out of Texas A&M, 6'4", 240 pounds. He needs the weight room. He'll get some time in the preseason.
Yep.
You want to hit on T.D. Moultrie?
Yeah, T.D. Moultrie, outside linebacker from Auburn, 6'3", 253. In his games in 2021, he had 7.5 tackles for loss with 3.5 sacks. Some fairly good production at the outside linebacker for him there at Auburn. You also had the guard, Chris Owens from Alabama, 6'3", 305. He started in 20 career games, including 12 at right tackle and one at center in 2021. The flexibility there to play inside positions is really good. And then you have cornerback Chris Steele from Southern Carolina, USC. Pittsburgh loves
Southern,
to get
Southern Cal.
Southern. That's what I said. Oh, I said Carolina. What am I talking about? Southern California. Oh my gosh. 6'1", 190. He had a decent 40 time. I don't know. Was it
4.48, I believe.
4.48. Very good there.
Pretty solid.
Very good. So his career at Southern Cal, I'll say it again, California, 95 tackles, 12 deflections, a fumble recovery, a forced fumble, a sack, and 3 interceptions in 29 games. So not too bad for him.
Not bad.
23 starts as well. And then you got the North Carolina offensive tackle, Jordan Tucker, who started all 13 games last year, blocking for an offense that averaged 35.2 points per game. And 468.3 yards per game. That's crazy. So we take those. We take those for sure. And then the last guy, talk about him.
Yeah, and real quick on the last one, Jordan Tucker. 6'6", 340 pounds is a very large human being at offensive tackle. So he's got a chance because that is one of the areas on this roster where the depth is not amazing. We don't have a lot of pedigree at the offensive tackle position. You got your starters. Your backups, not as amazing. Last guy, running back Jaylen Warren out of Oklahoma, 5'8", 215 pounds, a little bowling ball of a guy, but he's got some speed. We watched some highlights. Looks like he's got some elusiveness and some ability to get down the field. So they brought in a couple running backs, a couple of outside linebackers, a couple offensive tackles. You can kind of see on this what they wish they would have got in the draft that they didn't get because they doubled up on each of those positions.
Yeah, they also brought in another guy by the name of, I don't know what, must have missed him earlier, Bryce Watts, cornerback from University of Massachusetts. He finished the 2021 season with 43 tackles, 25 of them being solo, and 1 interceptions. But he transferred to University of Massachusetts after starting his college playing days at Virginia Tech in 2017 through 18. And I have some numbers on him real quick, so if we can get him. He was 6 foot 187. So there's the height weight on him. So
cool.
Solidifying a little bit of cornerback depth there.
Yeah, yeah, that tells us they wish they would have been able to add a corner. They wish they would have been able to add an outside linebacker, offensive tackle, and a safety because they signed DeMonte Casey.
Yep, that's how it goes. So that's it. If there's anybody that you guys think they signed or drafted that you think is going to be a bust or you think is going to go off in year one, maybe year two, let us know. Take pride in that thought. That way, if things hit, we can talk about you on the podcast. We can talk about, hey, this person called it. This guy played like absolute dog water, or this person blew it up this year. You know, if you think that, let's say, I'm trying to think of an example. If you think that Durant from Duke is going to come on and be a crazy good special teams player or come on and be the next backup, the backup running back position right now is pretty much wide open. If you think, Benny Snell's there, yes, but Benny Snell didn't play great last year. Anthony McFarland barely played last year. The running back room is basically Najee Harris and whoever's going to step up and play football. So if you guys think something, let us know. We'd love to shout you out on the podcast, whether you get it right, whether you get it wrong. We won't be too mean if you get it wrong. Don't worry. but again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow. Like I said earlier, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. Get those notifications every time we post a new video.
Ring the bell.
We can't thank you guys enough. So until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.